Just quick survey. Did everybody get a Happy New Year hug? Doesn't that feel good? Amen. Why don't we say a prayer? Father in heaven, we come before you today. We thank you for the new year. We thank you for life. We know that some people did not make it. But here we are, alive. And Father, we are grateful and we're thankful for the gift of life. We're thankful for this family of believers that is here. We're thankful for our friendships that we forged over the years through good times, but especially through times of challenge and adversity. And we're thankful that we can be called your sons and daughters. There is really no greater thing we want to be known but to be your children. And Father, we pray that you would bless our year, that we would thrive in 2025, and that we would grow and mature spiritually, that we would love each other deeply, and that we would continue to hold out the word of life to those who do not know you as we do. And Father, as we study your word today, please help us not to be distracted. Help us to be present. Help us to be here. Help us to open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today's message is titled Jesus, Appointed Son of God. And the text we're going to read today is found in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. It reads, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. These are the opening verses of Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And in these opening verses, Paul clearly states that Jesus was appointed by the Spirit, the Son of God. Jesus did not force himself into that place. This was not a sinister plot of deception carried out by the early Roman Catholic Church. This was stated by the Apostle Paul as an established theological truth to be believed by the Christians in Rome and certainly everyone who believes in Jesus. Today, this is what we're going to be focused on, where Paul writes, who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Theological truth is unchanging. This truth ought to be believed in every generation. It is to be believed by every person who professes Christ as Lord, regardless of where they live, regardless of how they grew up, regardless of what language they speak. Divine truth transcends culture. Every man and woman need to believe that Jesus Christ was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Whether you're an infant in Christ or whether you're 35 or 40 years old in Christ, this is what you need to believe. Paul says that Jesus was appointed. That word means to mark off by boundaries. Jesus was appointed by the Holy Spirit. He was marked off by the Holy Spirit of God. And once God marks something off, nobody can change those boundaries. Who appointed Christ? Jesus was appointed by the Spirit of holiness. The Spirit is the third person in the Godhead. God represents himself. He declares himself to be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Holiness means to be set apart. There's no lie or deception in the Spirit of holiness. Holiness is an eternal attribute of God. And so when the Spirit says that the Spirit of holiness appointed Christ to be Son of God, it means that once that has been done, once that boundary has been set, no matter how you feel about it, no matter how I feel about it, no matter if people in different cultures don't believe it, it cannot change the fact that Jesus has been appointed Son of God by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul asserts that the Spirit of holiness appointed Jesus Christ, Son of God, by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus' resurrection from the grave is the event that proves the Spirit appointed him and him only to be the Son of God. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is a historical fact. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again after 3 days. That's a historical fact. And it is the fact of his resurrection that proves he and he alone is the Son of God. The scriptures declare that the resurrection would be the singular event that would reveal God's Messiah. In Psalm 16, verses 9 to 10, David writes, "Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay." Psalm 16, verses 9 to 10. That actually is the psalm that the Apostle Peter referred to in his first sermon in Acts chapter 2. This psalm: "You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay." And what the Spirit is saying is, if you want to know without question who is God's appointed son, that scripture will be fulfilled. His body will not see decay. And the only person who fulfills that scripture is Jesus Christ. It's important to note that this passage, Psalm 16, theologians believe that it was written some 540 years before Jesus' birth. I can't even tell you what I'm doing next week. Only God could make a prediction 540 years before it actually happened. And these are just the first four verses of the book of Rome, of the Roman epistle. But there are some profound theological truths that we need to believe as a church, and that we need to hold dearly to. The resurrection of Christ was not a private event. It didn't happen in a corner. It didn't happen on some mountain, in some bushes. It was a public event. Jesus Christ was crucified and humiliated publicly. People watched him die. And when he rose from the grave, it was a public event. Mary saw Jesus, John 20, verses 11 to 13. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener — that's really something, you're looking at Jesus and you think, that must be the gardener — she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. This must have been quite an event for Mary, to have watched this man go into the tomb and then to see him standing before her alive. She was the first person on the scene of the resurrection, the first to report Jesus rose from the dead. And if you want a message to be sent to anybody, you tell a woman. Isn't that right, Robin? God knows how this works. Thomas, not only did he see Jesus, but he touched him also. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, I put my finger where the nails were, I put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." There are some people sitting in the auditorium today that feel the same way. "I want to put my hand in the holes. I need to see this." And guess what? A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then I want you to notice that Jesus just walked through closed doors. These things, don't just blow past these things in scripture, okay? He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Who's doubting now? Immediately, he becomes a believer. This did not happen in a corner. The Apostle Paul reported that Jesus appeared to many people after his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." The Apostle Paul reports to the church in Corinth that Jesus revealed himself. He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Now, I want you to imagine if Jesus Christ walked through those doors and stood up right here. All the people who are doubting, you could go put your hand in the holes. I tell you, this Sunday service, January the 5th, 2025, you would never forget in all your life. You would go and tell your neighbor, you would go and tell your family, you would go and tell your coworkers, you would go in the middle of the street and go, I have seen Jesus. You will never forget this day. This did not happen in secret. News of Christ's resurrection from the dead was a central theme in the public preaching of the apostles. It was a central theme. Acts 4:33, with great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. They continued to testify to what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They did not talk about all the miracles that Jesus did. They didn't talk about how he raised Lazarus from the dead or how he healed a blind man. That was not their message. Their message was, Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, and he is the one and only Son of God. That was their message. Jesus is the Son of God. He is not a Son of God. He's not one of others that possibly are out there. He is the Son of God. And as believers, we need to have a firm grip of this truth deeply embedded in our minds. Jesus is Lord. Paul says, who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God, empowered by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus our Lord. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because Paul says, Jesus our Lord. Our, meaning us. This is a unique declaration of faith within the Christian community. Paul was writing to a community of believers that were physically lived in the Roman city, the city of Rome. But the Roman nation, the nation, did not declare Jesus to be Lord. It wasn't like everybody in Rome believed this. It was this small Christian community that Paul is saying, Jesus Christ is our Lord. He's not their Lord. He's not everybody's Lord. He is our Lord. And everybody agreed to that. And I believe this is a unique feature of the first century church and all those who profess to worship Jesus, that he is our Lord. And so, if you think about all the people in the world living in that gray box, the Christian community are those people gathered in that blue circle who make this confession. Jesus is Lord. That confession matters to the people in that community. It don't matter to the people in the gray box. The people in the gray box look at you and say, well, you're an idiot. The emperor, he's the one who we worship. The Christian community says, no, we don't worship the emperor. We worship Jesus. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. And so we must ask, how does a person make a transition from Jesus not being their Lord to Jesus being their Lord? How does that happen? How does it happen? Does a person just wake up one morning, take a shower, and all of a sudden, bang, Jesus is now my Lord? Is it some emotional experience that they go through? Do they watch television and then just suddenly make that decision? How does a person make a transition from being in the gray box to being in the blue circle? How does that happen? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul is reminding Timothy of an important event that took place in his life. And he says he made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Timothy made a public statement, and a lot of people heard the statement that he made. What was that statement? What did Timothy actually say? Well, the good confession is Jesus is Lord. And that is, without question, the most consequential decision an individual can make. To make that public statement, Jesus is Lord. It must be public. You can't go up on a mountain with nobody around and say, Jesus is Lord. No, you can't do that. That's not how it works. It is a public confession. You say it out loud and you let other people hear you. Can I get an amen? Jesus is Lord means I willingly surrender my life to the authority of Jesus. Can I get an amen? I willingly surrender my life to the authority of Jesus. That's what that means. It is an intentional decision that someone makes. From this point on, I'm no longer going to be living by my feelings, by what I want. I have now asserted Jesus Christ as my ultimate authority. It is the most consequential decision an individual can make. And so a person, if he wants to get out of the gray box, the people just who live in the world, and he wants to come into that community of believers, he must make a decision. A person must repent. Pardon me. Let me get this correct. A person must repent and be baptized. And before they step into the waters of baptism, they need to make a good confession, Jesus is Lord. In fact, that's the last words uttered by a person before they step out of the gray and into the blue. The Apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It promises for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So my parents baptized me as a baby. But I did not make any public declaration that Jesus was Lord. You know why? Thank you, Robin. I couldn't talk. Just want to make that clear. I was a little baby and I could not speak. It is a widespread tradition throughout the world that you can just take a baby and go and baptize them and everything's okay. You can't go through the ritual of baptism and ignore lordship. That's a problem. In other denominations, the practice of baptism is widespread. So people will baptize little children, 9, 10, 11-year-old. And the intention is good. I get it. But when you ignore lordship, when you close your eyes to lordship, to this notion of a good confession, to this notion of repentance, when you close your eyes to these spiritual truths, You are not teaching people the full message of the gospel. And so there are a lot of people in our culture that have maybe gone through baptism, gone through the ritual of baptism, but never fully decided Jesus was going to be their Lord. Right? And so I want to make it very clear. You cannot go through, based on what I'm understanding in the scriptures, you can't go through the ritual of baptism without making sure you have the faith in Jesus and you confess you are old enough to make a public declaration that from this day on, I'm going to be like Jesus. And that is spiritual authority. Now, there's spiritual authority, which we just spoke about, but there's also earthly authority. Okay, we live in two realms. There's a spiritual realm, which we don't see, but we know Jesus is enthroned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we wake up every day and we realize we live in the United States of America. And on the 20th of January, we're going to witness the inauguration of Donald Trump as the 47th President of the United States. This is going to be a very public event. The inauguration of the President of the United States takes place every 4 years after a general election. How did Mr. Trump become president? He was elected to the office of president by over 77 million American citizens. He won the popular vote. He won 312 electoral votes. The elections were free and fair, whether we like it or not. Donald Trump will be the president of the United States for the next 4 years. Personally, I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump. Now, I'm not trying to change your opinion of him. I'm just being honest with you about how I feel. But even though I feel what I feel, it will not change the fact that Mr. Trump is going to be president for the next 4 years. I accept this reality. The authorities are not going to postpone the inauguration until I feel better about it. That's just not going to happen. So what do I do with my feelings? I must take my feelings and submit them to the authority of Jesus Christ, because 30 plus years ago, I confessed Jesus as Lord. And so I want to share four decisions that I've made. And these are decisions that I've made. I'm not telling you make the same decision. I'm just trying to be open here as your minister, because I want to thrive in 2025. But I can't do it by myself. I need your help. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Decision number one, I will be thankful for the peaceful transfer of power in the United States of America. I'm going to be thankful for that. Romans 13, 1 to 2, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Y'all real quiet on me now. Is that what it says? Yes. The authorities that exist have been established by God. You see, the authorities that exist have been established by God. Do you see that? See right there? Should I make it bolder? Should I increase the font? Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Decision number two, I am going to be submissive to the governing authorities. That's my decision. I choose. That's what I'm going to do. Romans 13, 6 to 7. This is why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. Let's say that together, church. Let's say it together. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. That's what it says. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. My third decision. I will continue to pay my taxes joyfully. Now, the way it works with the church is that they take it out before I get the money. And I struggle when I see that tax, but I'm gonna work on my joy. Because the Bible commands me, if I owe taxes, I need to pay it. These are the decisions that I've made. Y'all, it's up to you what you want to do. I'm just telling you decisions that I've made based on what I see in Scripture. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them, who's the them, the warped and crooked generation. You will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. I have decided that I will not complain about decisions that the government has made for the next 4 years. Now, I know I might fall on this one. I know I might fall on this one, but look, I need your help, right? I'm opening myself to you, my brothers and sisters. If I even sound like I'm complaining, right? I hereby give you permission. Seriously, I'm serious. To come talk to me. Say, Sean, that just sounded, I give you permission because I don't want to be grumbling and complaining about things I cannot control. These are decisions that I've made. And I just want to follow in the footsteps of my Lord Jesus, who remained silent before Pontius Pilate. I want to follow his example. In conclusion, Jesus is Lord. There is earthly authority established by God, and there is divine authority established by the same God. Earthly authority will change. Earthly leaders are temporary. As men and women who follow Christ, let us spend more of our time and more of our effort focusing on spiritual authority. The authority of Jesus. Why? Because the one who sits on the throne will never be dethroned. Jesus is Lord. Amen. At this time, we'll have Jackie Velosa come and give us the announcements and prayer requests.